Sarva Siddhartha Ratnadhyā Sarva Loke Katrikapata Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimata Bhagavatam Prabhukalitam Turitaditya Sri Krishna Parivartita Padamananda Pathaya Prema Varsakshadayate Sarvata Sarvasevyaya Sri Krishnaya Namostate Amaneka Bandho Mad Sangena Mad Guru Mad Mahadana Mad Nastaraka Banabhagya Madananda Namostate Asadu Sadu Dadaya Nati Nitru Chutaraka Hanamo Chagadachanam Prem Narad Kandayas Buddha Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya Hey, Nanda Mandir, who writes the verse? Huh? Tell him to write the one with the purport. Huh? You should always write the one with the purport. The next one that's got the purport. Okay? Ah, all right. This has no purport. We're chanting it anyway. He wrote it. He put it on the board. So, Tambarishtam Sriyo Riksha.
Tambarishtam Sriyo Riksha.
Nardavaryam Vimohita.
Nardavaryam Vimohita.
Manasa Vavire Bhishtam.
Manasa Vavire Bhishtam.
Patim Daibo Pasaditam. Tam pravishtam striyo vriksha
Tam pravishtam striyo vriksha
Naravaryam vimohita
Naravaryam vimohita
Manasa bhavire abhishtam
Manasa bhavire abhishtam
Patim daivo pasaditam
Patim daivo pasaditam
Hari Synonyms Tam
Him
Pravishtam
Enter
Striya, the women. Viksha, seeing. Nara, of man. Varyam, the most excellent. Vimohitaha, enchanted. Manasa, in their minds. Vavire, chose. Abhishtam,
desirable.
Patim,
as their
husband.
Daiva,
by fate.
Upasaditam,
brought. Translation by the servants of Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The women became enchanted when they saw the most excellent of males enter. In their minds, they each accepted him who had been brought there by destiny as their chosen husband. There's no purport. I have to read further. Bhuyat patir ayam mayam data tad anumodatam iti sarva pratakrishne bhavena hridayam dadhu. With the thought, may providence grant that this man become my husband, each and every princess absorbed her heart in contemplation of Krishna. 36. Ta aprahinod Dvavar dva aravatim sumrishta virajo ambara narayanair mahakosham ratasvan dravinam mahat. The Lord had the princesses arrayed in clean spotless garments and then sent them in palanquins of Dvaraka together with great treasures of chariots, horses, and other valuables. 37. Airavata kole bhanscha chatur dandams tarasvanai panduramscha chatu shashtim prerayam asakeshava. Lord Krishna also dispatched 64 swift white elephants, descendants of Airavata, who each sported 4 tusks. Gatava Surendra Bhava Nam Dhatva Dityoi Chakundale Pujatas Tridashendrena Mahendra Mahendrayat Chasapriya Chodato Parya Yodpatya Parijatim Gurut Gurut Mati Aropya Sendran Vibhudhan Nirjityopanayat Puram. Translation. The Lord then went to the abode of Indra, the demigod's king, and gave Mother Aditi her earrings. There Indra and his wife worshipped Krishna and his beloved consort Satyabhama. Then, at Satyabhama's behest, the Lord uprooted the heavenly Parijata tree, put it on the back of Garuda. After defeating Indra and all the other demigods, Krishna brought the Parijata to his capital. Stapita Satyabhamaya Griho Dhyano Ashobhanam Anvagur Brahmara Svaragat Tatkanda Savalampata. Once planted, the Parijata tree beautified the garden of Queen Satyabhama's palace. Bees followed the tree all the way from heaven, greedy for its fragrant and sweet sap. And this verse today, this is 43. Griheshu tasam anapai anarkakrin nirasta samyat ti sayesh avastita Reme Rama Bir Nijakam Asampluto Yate Toro Gar Haka Meri Kangscharan. The Lord, performer of the inconceivable, constantly remained in each of his palaces' queens, each of his queens' palaces, which were unequaled and unexcelled by any other residents. There, although fully satisfied within himself, he enjoyed with his pleasing wives. Like an ordinary husband, he carried out his household duties. Commentary. The word atarkakrit is significant here. Tarka means logic, and atarka means that which is beyond logic. The Lord can perform krit, that which is beyond mundane logic, and hence inconceivable. Still, the Lord's activities can be appreciated and understood to a significant extent by those who surrender unto Him. This is the secret of bhakti, loving devotion to the Lord. Sridhar Sridhar Swami comments, the Lord was always at home, except when he had to go out to do ordinary household duties. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that since in the Vaikuntha planets, Lord Narayana enjoys with only one goddess of fortune, and in Dvaraka, Krishna enjoys with thousands of queens, Dvaraka must be considered superior to Vaikuntha. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti also quotes the following passage from Skanda Purana. Chodashaiva sahasrani gopyas tatra samagataha hamsa eva matakrishna paramatma janardanaha tasya tasya itak shaktayo devi chodashaiva prakirtitaha chandra rupi matakrishna kala rupas chata smrita sampurna mandala thasam malini chodashi kala chodashai Sodashaiva kalaya nayasu gopi rupa varangane ekakashas tasambinna sahasrena pratak pratak. Quote, at that place 16,000 gopis were assembled with Krishna, who was considered the supreme, the supersoul, the shelter of all living beings. These gopis are his renowned 16 potencies, O goddess. Krishna is like the moon, the gopis are like its phases, and the full contingent of gopis is like the full sequence of the moon's 16 phases. Each of these 16 divisions of gopis, my dear Varangana, is subdivided into 1,000 parts. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur further quotes the Kartik Mahatmya section of the Padma Purana. Kaishore gopyas kanyastha yovane rajakanyakaha. Those who were the daughters of cowards in their early youth became royal princesses in their maturity. The Acharya adds, therefore, just as the Lord of Bharaka is a plenary expansion of the supremely opulent Lord of Sri Vrindavan, so his principal queens are full expansions of his supremely complete pleasure potencies, the gopis. End quote. Vrindavane Ramanareti Prasidhubhumo Tatrapi Krishna Balarama Supada Mule Jnanam Param Paramai Krishna Sadharma Chuktam Dandasta Deva Prabhupada Namo Namaste Samsara Dukkha Jalata Upaditasya Kama Krodari Nakrama Karai Kavali Kritasya Durvashanani Gaditasya Nirasrayasya Chaitanya Chandra Mamadehi Padavalambam. Jaladara Shashivarno, Kobavesha Kishoro, Sahachara Ganavrindai, Kridamana Vrajesho, Natabaratitavesho, Nilapitam Bharadyo, Jagatajananahe, Tu Ramakrishna Natosmi, Samsara Sagaran Nata Putamita Grahangana, Koptaro Meyuva Meva Prabhanabaya Banjano, Vanchakalpata Rupyascha Kripa Sandvevacha, Pritananga Pavane Pyo, Vaishnave Pyo Namonama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, we have to continue what we mentioned now. First thing is, Patim Daibo Pasaditum. Tam Pravishtam Striyo Vriksha. The first thing was, is this point. Tam Pravishtam Striyo Vriksha. That when he entered their quarters, and they saw him, Naravaryam, his beautiful form, which is so bewildering to see, the best of men, Manasabha Vareya Vishtam, it was just what their mind wanted. It was so desirable. Patim Daibo Pasaditam, may he become our Lord, they thought, as he has been granted by destiny. Because according to their previous destiny, they were abducted by Narakasura, and they didn't see much future. The future looked pretty bleak for those girls, right? That was the previous aspect of Daiva. Now, by their good fortune, their past pious attributes, or whatever, as they considered it, somehow or another, they were freed from the effects of the demon, and they were freed by the most beautiful of males. And therefore, their life brightened with hope that now we'll have a wonderful life, you know? And although in Indian culture, if a girl was stolen away, left her father's residence for even one night, then there was fears that her chastity had been violated, her purity had been violated, and therefore nobody would marry such a girl, even if she was from a royal family. You know, it was just the way human society was so constructed that those girls thought, you know, what hopes do we have for a normal, happy life? Now, all those girls were actually expansions of gopis, it was described, and they chose Krishna as their Lord. And it was the same Baba. It just simply was Vaikuntha Baba, that's all. Because if you look in the 10th canto during the Katyayani Vrata section, all the gopi girls, they did puja to Katyayani Devi, and they said, Mahamayi Patim, Nanda Gopam Gripam Devi Patim Me Daya Kuru. They said, please, O Mahamaya, Mahamayi, please be merciful to us and grant us that the son of Nanda will become our Pati, our Lord. Pati is Lord, Pati is Prabhu, Pati is husband, like that. So it's interesting that just as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Sridhar Swami, they point out that just as Krishna expands himself, Vaibhava Prakash, the manifestation of another mood, Vaibhava, manifestation of another mood. So that's how he is. In Vrindavan, he's when in the 10th canto, 14th chapter, when Brahmaji came to offer prayers to Krishna, Krishna was silent as Brahmaji is offering prayers. The silence is described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as this, that, who is this golden fellow? You know, he's got these four heads. Who is this golden fellow? What's he talking about? Where are my cows? He goes, I'm a coward boy, and I don't know anything else, you know. You know, this is Rajananda Kumara. He thinks himself, I'm the son of Nanda, I'm a coward boy, I'm a gopa, and you know, and gopas are with gopis and with other gopas, and these are my gowals, and I've got cows, and that's it! Life does not go much further than that. You know, Krishna's happiness in the land of Vrindavan doesn't go much further than that. You know, everything in Vrindavan is great. In the Vrindavan Astakam, Rupa Goswami says, he says, even though Vrindavan is simply a forest, it's thousands of times more opulent. You know, Sahasragunatasriyam is fully, it's more opulent than a thousand times. Prithivati rasasrayasam. Vaikuntha pura samsraya. Vaikunthapura, better than Vaikunthapura, than the city of Vaikuntha. Samsrayat, it is better than that. Samasrayat, because it has complete, it gives complete shelter. Vaikunthapura samsrayat, vipinata, even though it's a forest, api, certainly, nishraya sam, it is the best. It gives the best shelter. Sahasraguna tasrayam, many thousands of times it's better. Pratavatira sahasraya sam, because it was the place where the rasa dance, where the highly exalted rasa dance was took place. Chaturamukara mukherda pi, even Lord Brahma, the head of which is Lord Brahma, mukherda pi, sprihita tarna dehud baba, he simply desired to become a blade of grass. Jagadguru bhagramai, even though he's the guru, the chief and the head of all the Jagat Gurus, he wants to become a blade of grass in that land of Vrindavan. Sarana was to Vrindavan to be. May we all take shelter of the wonderful forest of Vrindavan. So in Vraj, Krishna is the best. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes good, better, and best. You know? When Krishna is in Vraj, he's in the best, right? And when Krishna is Mathura, it's most perfect. And when Vrindavan, when Krishna is in Dwaraka, he's perfect. You know, so it's perfect, more perfect, most perfect. You know, he's so happy in Braj. Now, interestingly, as the Supreme Lord expands himself to engage in his pastimes in Mathura, I was always trying to understand exactly when the Supreme Lord manifests himself as Vaibhava Prakash. When does his Vrijananandana Rupa end, and his Vasudeva Nandana Rupa as a Kshatriya manifest? You know, it appears to be after the killing of Kamsa, like that. But it's interesting that even before that, he was manifesting that opulence, like in terms of his vibhuti, his power, that right in front of the boys in Dauji, you know, he bifurcated the head of the impudent washerman, you know, just by hitting him, striking him with his forepalm, knocked his head off. No, that's vibhuti, that the Lord's vibhutis, his potencies, are manifested, right? And the tailor came up and offered to make him some nice ornaments, right? And the Lord awarded him full power of the senses, long duration of life, you know, all facility for enjoyment and liberation at the end, you know, like this, which is basically Vaikuntha Ashirvad, really. It's basically a powerful Vaikuntha Ashirvad. Then, as well as the Lord's treatment of Kumcha, how he gave her justice and awarded her extraordinary beauty, which any girl couldn't have, just simply by the touch of the two Lord's fingers, all for offering some nice gift of scent, you know. It's like it was, when you read these pastimes in Mathura Leela, you know, before the Lord. Now, Rupa Goswami describes Braj Leela in his untitled compositions, Ashtachandastava, you know, 100 chandas, poems, 100 in Ashtachandastava, 108 different chandas, you know, poetry about Lord's pastimes in Braj. He goes from Vrindavan, from the time of his appearance, up to the killing of Kamsa. Rupa Goswami, glory to God. So it appears to be the killing of Kamsa is the tata, it's the shore by which the Lord's Vrindavan pastimes officially end, and the pastimes of Mathura Nav begin, you know, like that. But it's interesting, even before the Lord awarded different types of devotees before he killed Kamsa, you know, extraordinary opulences, which are basically like Vaikuntha Ashirvad, you know, like the tailor who made the nice ornaments for the Lord, he made it very nicely, so the Lord looked very good, you know, with the cloth that he got from the washerman. Then Kubja offered the nice scent, yellow ointment for Krishna and blue ointment for Dauji, you know, which they smeared on their bodies, and they looked very nice, you know. And then Krishna is like, she's offered something very good, We should do something for her. You know, and then he touched her feet with his lotus feet and picked her up and made her straight and promised to remove her burden. Even though, now people could say, wait a minute, you know, this is a girl of Mathura. What's the Lord doing touching these girls? You know, it sets a bad example. But Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, no, she's actually, Kukshe is actually an expansion of Satyabhama, the Lord's consort, who is Prithvi, the earth. So her conjugal affection for Krishna is not surprising, in like this. And the Lord protected the earth. The earth is his consort anyway, in the form of Varaha Dev. So it's anything, any action the Lord had, it was for with his consorts. They're already his consort. They're already chosen. Daiva Pasaditat means sent by Daiva. They're already his consorts. Time was, they were just before. That's all. And what would be interesting about this particular pastime is whether elsewhere in the Puranas or in the supplementaries where it's mentioned, what did those girls do by which they were kidnapped by the demon? It could be asked, what did they do? What wrong did they do, those girls, by which they were kidnapped by Narakasura? That's one question which comes to mind, you know? or was the whole thing just a part of a natak, you know, just part of a drama, an extended excitement of asha, you know, like so that desires, you know, unfolded by Daiva Pasadita, by Daiva, so that the asha, the burning desire, you know, hope against hope that we can attain the Lord becomes strongly disclosed by those princesses, right? The verse is so ecstatic in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Na prema shavanadi bhaktir apivad yoga tava vaishnavo. He says that, you know. Na prema, I don't have any love. Shavanadi bhaktir apivad. Or sadhana, which accrues from practice of hearing and chanting, headed by hearing, right? Yoga tava, or I don't have any credit from Ashtanga Yoga, from discipline of, you know, pranayama, hatha yoga, anything, any types of yoga sadhana, right? Yoga athava Vaishnava. And I don't have association of great Vaishnavas, because even if one's a bum, if you have great Vaishnavas, if you've somehow got association with great Vaishnavas, by their kindness, you're picked up. Atha Vaishnavo. Then he says, Jnanam va. I don't have any great storehouse of knowledge. Shubhakarama va. And I don't have any past pious credits that I can think of that would give me such wonderful fruit. You know, punya phal or whatever. Shubha karma va, kiyadiyo sajjatara pyastiva, and I'm not even born in an elevated family. My kula, my jati, my birth is bad. Hinartha, I don't have any benefit. Apitata techchetyamulasati, that could be at the root that I could hope for. The root that I could hope for. Hey Gopi Janavalaba, but oh Lord, Lord who loves the gopis. Vidayate ha ha madasaiva mam. Still somehow or another I'm desiring, hoping against hope that I'll attain you. This is called ashabandha, being bound up by desire. So the only way I could think, the first curiosity I've got is, did those princes do anything to some rishi or, you know, something, you know, in a previous life by which they got the reaction of being stolen by Narakasura, you know, and imprisoned and suffering for a long time? Or was it Daiva Pasadita, simply a orchestration to show that my devotees can be put through any type of misery and any type of obstacle, and still they will shine. Their burning desire to attain me will shine forth. You know, it's like that. When the going gets rough, the rough get going. No devotee gives up his desire to attain Krishna, no matter what the obstacle is. As they say, when they take obstacles and turn them into opportunities. This is really a person of function, you know? Take an obstacle, any obstacle. Could be worse. We haven't seen the beginning of our suffering. Could be worse, you know. We're lucky. The Vaishnavas think, we're lucky. Huh? We're suffering very less. Actually, we deserve much more. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that famously. Tomada say bye. And that bhajan has to be one of the most chipper, one of the most happy, you know, bhajans in Sharanagati. Atmanivedan 8 has to be one of the sweetest, happiest, you know. But in order to that, the devotee doesn't think that the acharya is becoming overly optimistic by that singing the bhajan. Oh, it's so ecstatic. It's so ecstatic. You know, that Atmanivedan. If any devotees really want to float in happiness, that bhajan is one, which is just by simply by singing it will transport you into great devotional happiness. It's so ecstatic. But in order to think so that critics or other people may think that, Vaishnavas, their happiness with Bhagavan is all, you know, on the astral plane. It's all on the mental plane. It's all they're supposing their sambandha, their thinking of their sambandha like that, and they're dreaming of their sambandha, and their happiness is based on a dream, right? Some rationalist, some, you know, scientist, some, basically they're atheist, may say like that. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur brings that such happiness that a Vaishnava or a Vaishnavi has in loving Krishna comes straight down to a staunch reality on the ground, where he says, Tomara se bhai. Dukkho hoye jato seto paramasukha. Misery is obtained in your service will be the greatest happiness for me. Seva sukha dukkha paramasampada. Whether I get happiness in that service, whether I get happiness in distress, or paramasampada, or big obstacles, sampada, big distresses, nashaya vidya dukkha, both destroy the ignorance of illusion. It means our eyes are thoroughly open. So, even if you consider, without seeing any pramana, alright, without seeing any pramana whatsoever, what did those girls do by which they were kidnapped by the demon? You know, what previous activity that prompted them to be kidnapped? You know, they were Rishi's girls, they were kings, there were some demigod princesses that were from so many different backgrounds. And this king, you know, this Narakasura stole these girls from so many different kingdoms. You know, what did they do? You know, like that. That's, of course, it's a curiosity. But Nashaya Vidya Dukkha. But so before we can even think like that, is that both destroy the ignorance of illusion. So all of their ignorance of their illusion was destroyed. Previously, when Jarasandha had also kidnapped many, many kings and put them in prison, and their health was very bad, and they were shorn of their opulences, Krishna, when he liberated them from their miseries, immediately had them all well taken care of, well fed, well dressed, and sent back to their respective kingdoms. And they all glorified Krishna, you know, so wonderfully. Krishna is known for protecting living entities and presenting the righteousness. Also, it is described by Jagannath Das Babaji Mahasai. We should never forget the distinction between the Supreme Lord's manifestation as Gaura Nitai and Krishna and Dauji. Krishna and Dauji are interested in the administration of justice, Jagannath Das Babaji Mahasai said. Is quoted to have said. And they'll get it by any way, you know, any means, hook, crook, whatever, they'll dispense justice, right? Paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya cha duskritam. Even if the duskriti is his own son. In this case, Narakasura was the son of Varahadeva. Still, he became dushtu. He became bad, and therefore he was vinashaya. He was taken out. That was the justice given. And dharma sangstarpanartaya. He will establish religious principles, which means in Jarasandha's case, Jarasandha was removed, and the princes and the kings that were kidnapped by him were relieved and sent back to their kingdom, restored, and their citizens became happy. We got our Raja back, right? In this case, the girls, their dignity was restored. They got their, and their dignity was restored because they had no hope of being married. Absolutely no hope. Whether they were innocent, whether they were raped, by Narakasura or defiled in any way, those girls had no hope. The public would always be suspicious. But Krishna accepted them. Now the interesting thing is Tambra Vishnam Sriyam Biksha. Now how do we take it? How do we take it? This verse, Tambra Vishnam Sriyam Biksha, is very, very similar to 10th canto, chapter 23, verses 20 through 23. Just consider that when the Dvija Brahmanis were performing austerities in Braj, you know, to get Krishna, it goes, it mentions there it mentions in verse number 19 there, it mentions there that Nisityamane Patibi, they were forbidden by their husbands. Bratribi, by their brothers. Bandubi Sutaihi, by their friends, by their sons. Bhagavat Uttama Shloke, having heard the glories of the Lord of all opulences, Uttama Shloke, glorified by the best verses. Dirga Shlotra, by their intense hearing. For a long time. Dirga, for a long stretched out time. Dirga means long. Dirga Shlotra, for a long time they heard of the glories of their beloved Krishna. And Dhritasaya, and they developed a very firm desire within their heart. Jamuno Bhavane Ashoko, on the bank of the Jamuna, along a grove of Ashok trees, Navapalava Mandite, you know, he said, in the circle of new smells, a new scent, Palava Mandite, you know, of a wonderful fragrant flowers, Bicharantam, Vratam Gopai, associated with the coward boys, Bicharantam, surrounded by the coward boys, Dadrushu, they saw, Dadrushu Striya. These Dvija Brahmanis saw Dadrushu Sriya. They had mentioned what they saw. Now this is where the poetry comes in. Any time where it mentions about Dadrushu in Bhagavatam, that they saw, the devotees saw, you know, their cherished object of their hope and their desire. Dadrushu, they saw. And it mentions that Bhagavatam always goes into the beautiful poetry, whether it's about Ramchandra, whether it's about Krishna, you know, all beautiful poetry. And usually these slogans are very predominant and powerful and very famous because they are dhyana mantras. They open up the horizon of the devotee's mind to the spiritual world. They're like doorways to the spiritual world in poetry form. Chitra Jalpa. By painting, the words are like paintings. Ashyama Mahiranya Paridim Vanamalya Bharha. He had a beautiful Shamsundar form. Hiranya Paridim. And his dhoti was just like lightning. Vanamalya. And he had a beautiful forest garland on his chest. Bharha. And a peacock feather on his head. Natu Prabala. Datu Prabala. And he had these wonderful pigments on his face from the caves of Govardhan Hill. Natavesha, like the best of dancing actors who has makeup, you know. Anuvratam Shave. Even that word is poetical. Anuvratam Shave. Amsha means limb, right? And Anuvrata Amsha. Anu means following, and Vrata means vows. Whose vows? He's a limb who follows the same vows. It's a friend, you know. He had his hand, as Amsha, his hand, on a limb. You could even say the Amsha is either the boy or the Amsha, the Lord's Amsha, the Lord's limb, on the shoulder of a friend whose vows are strictly in accordance with him. Anuvratam She. Vinyasta Hasta Itarena. And in his other hand, Vinyasta Hasta Itarena. His left hand, he's twirling a flower. Duna na abjum. Duna, he's twirling an abjum, a lotus flower. And a karna kapolaka, and in his ears he had he, in his beautiful ears, he had Karnikara flower, Mukhav Jahasam, and he was smiling. Okay? So this is what the Dvija Brahmani saw, this beautiful feature of Krishna like that. Then, what was the result of what they saw? Because this is exactly the same type of bhava in Dwaraka. It's different. It's by Baba Prakash. I'm telling you this scene from Vrindavan so that you can take the same exact scene and just add Vaikuntha to it. Just take it and turn from Vrajendra Nandana Shyama to Vasudeva Nandana Shyama. The effect is the same. That's all I'm saying. Right? Then it goes like a, it mentions there, it mentions there about the Dvija Brahmanis, what they saw. Then he goes, I'm trying to remember the verse, how it starts, it goes on. He said, Tamatakshi Randrai Antaprabesha Suti Ram. Antaprabesha Suti Ram. Parirabhya Tapam. Viraja. Yatavi Matayo Vijahur Narendra. He mentioned, it's also a very famous verse. They said, those girls, they, by looking at Krishna with such desire, such strong desire, the Dvija Brahmanis. Prayashuta Priyatamo, yes, this is the sloka, how it starts. Prayashuta Priyatamo Dayakarana Pure. For a long time, the topics of their beloved Krishna, Prayashuta, for a long time, Priyatamo Daya, their hearts were full of such joy and happiness. Karana Pure. And these topics were the emblems of hope for the cities of their ears. Karana Pure. Yasmin Nimagna Manasas. And the rivers of their mind were fully immersed in him. Tamatakshi Randrai. Then with their eyes. Tam Atakshi Randrai. With their eyes. Anta Pradesha. They caused the form of Krishna to enter within their heart. Suchiram, very nicely. Parirabhya, and within their hearts, they began to hug Krishna very tightly. Tapa, and the burning fire of separation from Krishna became Parirabhya Tapa, Yathabhimatayo, in the same way, Yathabhimataya, in the same way like that a person does. Vijahur Narendra, a person just like the great sages give up the anxiety of false ego by embracing their eternal consciousness. These Dvija Brahmanis, by bringing Krishna with their eyes. Now, I thought my god brother Dravida and a few others had a hand in the editing. He said, with the one translation of this shloka goes, with the aperture lenses of their eyes, these girls fixed the beauty of Krishna under the film of their heart and gave him a big hug, you know, from within. And thus, by hugging Krishna, they became completely free of the burning fire of separation. Just like a great sage gives up the anxiety of false ego by embracing their innermost consciousness. From that, I understood, anytime we get any lusty thought in our conditioned life, if we simply, as they say in Hindi, badli karo, we just simply transform it. You know, into what? You know, just like Jagannath is there, and the rest of them say, just give Chakadola a big hug, you know? And our devotees would do that, you know, that when the Rath Yatra is there at midnight or something, the pandas are snoring, you know? then the devotees would climb up the stairs and go give Jagannath a big hug, you know? Secretly, you know, like that, when the pandas are snoring, you know, then Jagannath is being hugged by the devotees, you know? Just give Chakadola a big hug. And the idea of it is, it doesn't matter, male or female. As long as you've got this body, if we get confused, bewildered, distracted by the illusory energy, and our mind is temporarily taken away by the senses and the sense objects, right? What's the remedy? Badli karo, you take that illusory sensual object, which is basically manaso jati, born out of the mind only. It has no substantial reality at all. As Bhagavatam 11th canto, chapter 2, verse 58 mentions, that when a devotee, tadaiva ruddham, when a devotee, ruddho abhayam tatasyat, when a person could stop the tendency of seeing anything separate from Krishna, abhayam tatasyat, they become abhaya, they become fearless, right? So in order to become fearless, badli karo, it's very simple. That concoction that you had in your mind, that you're contemplating, you know, the knight in shining armor, you know, or the svelte, beautiful apsara girl, you know, like that, which is completely mental phantasmagoria, not at all there. Just take it, and you're feeling lusty. The heat is rising in the body and the mind. Passion is rising. Now, just change it into Jagannath, now, or change it into Gornatai, or change it into Krishna Dauji, or change it into Narahari, or whoever your Lord is, your Pati, your Lord, you know, whoever your Pati is, huh? And then hug him. Now release yourself. Go ahead and hug him, you know. Yathabhi matayo vijahur narendra. Just like the great sages give up the anxiety of false ego by embracing their innermost consciousness. When I read that, I thought, this is great. By reading that sloka, I thought, this is great. You hug Krishna, and that's what you want. And when we do that, instantly, the lust, greed, burning fire, tapa. The Bhijavamani said, and they became free from the tapa, from the burning fire of separation from Krishna. Became immediately cool. Like fire is being put on ice. You know? Or like sometimes you see a giwik, right? A giwik that was perfectly light and it hits some water and goes, right? And goes out and goes out, right? You know? Like a giwik hitting some water. You know? Goes out. So, this is the wonderful thing about Krishna consciousness, that it works. Now, I quoted those verses from the 10th canto, 23rd chapter, about what the Dvija Brahmani is called. Now, any place in Bhagavatam where any devotee, like 6th canto, 16th chapter, verses 33, you know, when Chitraketu was in total ecstasy upon seeing, you know, Sankarsana, the beautiful Lord with beautiful white form, with a beautiful, wonderful blue dhoti, you know, like that. Sankarsana, his Lord of his meditation. And he became completely flooded with astasattvika vikar. And he couldn't say anything. He was just so stunned at seeing the Lord. He couldn't say anything. Then finally, and when he became composed and his emotions were controlled, then he opened his mouth and started to glorify the Lord. And it's great. Any time that Bhagavatam does this, what this means, or any time Chaitanya Charitamrita does this, or any time, it's a very standard kavi program. It's like a drama. You build up the tension, you build up the climax, and then, yeah, you know, then you put the scene in, right? To capture all the viewers. The idea of it is that beautiful Bhagavatam, beautiful, beautiful Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, as they describe with beautiful Ramayana, same, as they describe the beauty of the Lord and everything, just to bring the reader along, then, the success of Milana, the success of Milana, the success of meeting the Lord. How ecstatic the devotee meets the Lord. And such things cause the devotees to become so overwhelmed that tears flow from their eyes just reading the beauty of the verses. Like that, as their minds become transported beyond the pale of their walls, of their place. That's the idea. The idea of hearing and chanting and reading is to become transported beyond your confines of your little box, wherever you reside. That's the idea, to become transcendental. One thing I appreciated in 1972, when I first got Prabhupada's books, I remember my mother used to say, why don't you go play with your friends? Why don't you go jump on your bicycle and go do something, you know, practical? You know, why don't you go play with your friends, you know? Hey, I'm happy. You know, I want to go associate with the Panchpandavas. You know, I'm reading, you know? I'm reading and my mind is going beyond the realms of this room. And I'm going, you know, envisioning what it must be like with a punch bowl. It was what it must be like. You know, you know, you're like sitting down and like an observer. What it must be like, you know, with Sukadeva Goswami talking to Briksh and Maharaj. What it must be like, you know, like you know, it's just the mind is traveling, you know, by the sound vibration. You know, this was the joy of reading Prabhupada's books in those days. And wow, what joy! You know, we're actually going places. Beat a ticket, Pojga, as they say in Hindi. You know, in Vrindavan, when somebody dies. You know, the standard line is, voila! Bina ticket, poch gaya. He's gone without buying a ticket, you know. Sasta! You know, it's the cheap and best, you know. By the power of the mind, you're gone, you know, to that dham, to that place, without buying a ticket. Wow! The victory of Vrindavan, the victory of Navadvip, the victory of Dhamma. Or like Prabhupada was saying, this is not Melbourne! This is Vrindavan. If your mind is absorbed in hearing and chanting, you know, when you worship the Lord, you're not in Melbourne, you're in the Vrindavan, you know. So that's the idea, you know. The whole idea of this. And therefore, Narottam Das Thakur, interestingly, says, what is the use of Tirtha Yatra? He actually says in Prema Bhakti Chandrika, Tirtha Yatra, ha! What is the use of it? You know, because evidently, even in Narottam's day, you know, it was popular. People would go. Now, but it was a lot of work. There was no buses, no trains, no planes. In Bengal, it was described, I think it's in Bhakti Ratnakar, that if somebody was going to Vrindavan from Bengal, like that, and it took 30 days, right? And you go through Jarakanda, and there are many, you know, hungry tigers, you know, and you could be lunch, you know? You know, like this. And so what they did is they would leave a last will and testament that suppose I don't come back from Vrindavan for any reason at all. You know? Sometimes you stay there. Sometimes you become a Baba. You know? You just become absorbed in the bliss of the Dham and the turtle sub. You know, you just simply give up everything and become a Baba. Right? A Bhikshu Baba. Like that. Because in those days, you know, Bhikshu Babas were welcome. It's not like they are now. You know? So, that's one thing. Or you died on the way. From gastroenteritis or something like that, or some disease, or you got eaten by a tiger, or whatever it was, you see? Like this. So that in case I don't come back, my assets will be distributed like this. They made these provisions. So it was a dangerous program. But their mind was absorbed in what lies ahead. When you read, there's a bhajan glorifying Jiva Goswami. Are mora jivana dana anupamer nandana Shri Jiva Goswami daya maya. When you read that bhajan, 26 shlokas about Jiva Goswami, it's described the happiness of his travel, of his childhood, how wonderful he was absorbed. Krishna katha alapana tilar deg anyanahi katha, and he never heard anything else. He had wonderful, wonderful qualities, you know. And he was in total separation when his uncles Rupa and Sanatan, when they left and they went, you know. He was just thinking, how will I live? How will I maintain myself without my uncles? How will I attain them, you know. Then he went to Varanasi and he studied under Vidya Vichaspati, or either Madhusudan or Vichaspati, one of those two, I forgot. And he became a pundit in short time, mastering all the Sanskrit so wonderfully. Then, as he was walking, the bhajan described, from Varanasi, you know, to Braj, he was walking. And he said, he was completely flooded with love and tears in his eyes as he walked along the way. It's not possible to describe. How did he maintain his life? Somehow or another, he begged or whatever it is, and he didn't have any inconvenience. People fed him along the way, you know. And he got to Vishram Ghat, and he was just thinking, oh, when will I see Govinda? When will I see Vrindavan? You know, like this. And he was like flooded with tears simply by seeing Mathura and seeing Jamunaji and bathe there. And oh, I'll get the hope of my life and I'll get to see Rupa and Sanatan. And then he saw Govindaji's temple from a distance and he went there. And then it says, it's not able to describe how he served his uncles, Rupa and Sanatan. Whatever order they carried, he carried it on his head. And they were so satisfied with him. You know, the bhajan is so deep. So all these things transport the devotees, this world, like this. So I described to you how the Dvija Brahmanis were transported. You know? And how, therefore, if you just simply take Vrijendra Nandan Krishna and transform him into Vasudeva Nandana Krishna as a Kshatriya, the most beautiful of Kshatriya males, as he enters into the inner chambers of these kidnapped princesses, and they all go, "Look, our savior, Krishna, you know, our knight in shining armor, you know, and he's just been given by Daiva, just for us. Wow, would it be great if he became our Lord?" They all within their hearts thought. Now, evidently, there was a humility with those forlorn princes. You see, there was a humility. They just thought within their heart, would it be possible? Would it ever be possible? And Krishna just took all those princesses along with so much booty and gold and stuff like this, along with 64 elephants. Now, what I liked about that verse, about 64 elephants, white elephants, that were descendants from Airavata. Airavata must have been an Assamese elephant, you know, because Pragjyotishtapura was Guwahati. You know, when I had Ratha Yatra there, I was ribbing the devotees. Guwahati means the marketplace of Pan, where Pan betel is sold. You know, but I was joking because Hati means elephant, but it's not that. Hatta is marketplace. I go, "Come on, you guys, this is Ratha Yatra. There's no Hati for Guwahati. Come on, you know, Ratha Yatra means an elephant. Where's an elephant? You guys are living in Assam? You can't get an elephant for Ratha Yatra? What's the matter?" I was giving him a hard time, you know. "No Hati for Guwahati. Come on, you know." Having fun. So 64 elephants, Airavata's descendants, with four tusks each. We can't imagine how wonderful those elephants were. We're dispatched to Dwaraka also. 64 Assamese elephants, you know. That's a long walk. They were trying to get, you know, an elephant. Rimati Mata and a few others were trying to get an elephant from Mayapur to replace Gulab Kali, right? So they were talking about trying to find something from Assam. Naturally, right? Now, even from Assam, you take a Hati from Assam. There was some problems. They didn't get permission from Bengal government or something, you know, some bureaucratic red tape, you know. It's not easy to walk, you know, from Assam, you know. That was not the problem. The bureaucratic red tape was more the problem. But can you imagine walking from Assam all the way to Mayapur on a Hati? What kind of a mahout would have to do that, you know? Stealing sugar cane along the way, you know, whatever they could steal to feed the elephant along the way, you know. Would you speak of 64 elephants transported by the Lord to Dwaraka, you know? That's a long walk from Assam. All the way across India to Gujarat. That's a long hike. What to speak of palanquins of gold and booty with all those 16,000 princesses packed all the way from Assam all the way to Dwaraka. You know? And what's amazing about the whole thing, when you read about it, how Krishna went to the heaven with Satyabhama to give Aditi back her earrings, and then Krishna stole the Parichar tree. Satyabhama, although she is Radharani in Dwarka mood, right? A very insistent, intense lady, contrary minded lady. But her pati, her Krishna, was very attached to her and very happy to serve her with her desire, that evidently she had no qualms that Krishna was going to marry these 16,000 girls. You know, she had no qualms about the whole thing. You know, she knew the power of her pati, right? And neither did she, and neither did Krishna's love for Satyabhama diminish by his affection and attention to 16,000 princesses. His affection for her was so much that she says, "Ha! You gave one Parijata flower to Rukmini. Why not give one to me? Adi, why just one flower? You know, Priyali." Take a whole tree. Priyali, why do you want just one flower? You know, Rukmini had one flower. You want only one flower? Take a whole tree. Now you think that Rukmini could go, "Ha! Why didn't you give her one flower? You didn't give me a tree? Why don't you give me a tree?" But Rukmini was so submissive. She was Chandravali. She was so submissive. Whatever my pati wants is what I want. Yeah? That's Rukmini's bhava. Whatever is happy for my pati is happy for me. Amazing. Huh? And Krishna remained all the time with those princesses A lot. Except when he had to go out and do some household duty, which was also an example set, you know, for other householders. That yes, you may be very happy with your wife and family, but duty calls, right? So people go. As they say in the joke, you know, a man's gonna do what a man's gonna do. That's always the slang terminology in the West. A man's gotta do what a man's gotta do. You know, it's duty calls, you know. Get out and do your duty, you know. So Krishna did his duty to show all householders the example how to do the duty and household life. And it's so wonderful. But just see, there's so many wonderful similarities between Vrindavan Leela and Dwarka Leela. The distinctions are just the same, except for a little bit change in bhava. But sometimes Krishna, the Vrindavan is so wonderful. The Vrindavan effect is so wonderful that even though Krishna has on so much opulences with such beautiful, it's described in elsewhere that Krishna's queens were so astoundingly beautiful that the apsaras and the heavenly planets would faint on seeing their beauty. So defeated were the apsaras and heavenly planets by the beauty of Krishna's queens. See? Like that. So defeated. And yet still, Krishna was always remembers Vrindavan. It was described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita how Krishna would play his flute. There was a Vrindavan gardens in Dwarka. And Krishna would sometimes wander and play a flute in the night, remembering the residence of Vrindavan. And then he would faint in ecstasies in remembrance of his associates in Vrindavan. And Dauji would dress him up. And Dauji would dress him up as a coward boy and take away everything of his opulence, royal opulence, stuff a flute in his belt. And then and call Vishwakarma. They made a murti of Yasoda and a murti of Radharani. And then Dauji would wake him up. Come on, Baya. Uto, Baya. You know, we've got to go. The cows are waiting. We have to go. Go, Charan. We have to go. You know. And Krishna would immediately, poof, what? You know, and he would be completely absorbed in Vrajabhava. Ha, go, Charan. Yeah, we have to go take care of the cows. Ha. Then he would see a murti of his mother. Oh, mother, I promise you, Dauji will take me out of the forest. We'll come back soon. And everything will be all right. There won't be any problem, mother. We'll follow all your advice and everything will be fine. You know, then I'll be a good boy. And then he went out and then he saw this murti of Radharani. He goes, oh, Priyali, you're not saying anything. He goes, are you silent? Because I didn't show up properly last night for the meeting. But I promise you, it'll be all right. And tonight we'll surely meet, you know. And then he looks left and then he looks right to make sure there's nobody watching. And gives her a kiss on the cheek, you know. And then, you know, and you were thinking that, wait a minute. And I think, wow, Vishwakarma. When I read that, I was thinking, wow, Vishwakarma must have really done a good job, you know. That even though these are murtis, right, they're like made out of some material, they must have looked so realistic. Vishwakarma must have done it so expertly, they must have looked so realistic, you know, that they really looked the part, you know. And I think, but wait a minute, if Krishna kisses this murti, you know, kisses this murti, then surely he can say that, wait a minute, this isn't soft. This isn't soft and warm like my Priyali, you know. You know, like, you'd think that the cat would be out of the bag right there. You know, when I read that, I was thinking, wow, how expertly Vishwakarma must have done his service, you know. Then they went out, look! They saw the sea and they went, look, there's the Jamuna. Hey, Maya, we'll go and play in the Jamuna just as we like. And all the boys, they all ran to go jump, kya! You know, go jump in the Yamuna, you know, go jump and play in the Yamuna, right? And that verse is really cool. You're thinking, like, that's, wow. Memorize that verse whenever we see Jamunaji, you know? Then they got in. And as soon as he's in the water, and then Krishna looks and he sees a bright city in the distance. He goes, what's that bright shining city? Dauji goes, think nothing of it. You know? Think nothing of it. But Krishna kept talking about that bright city, and then Dauji goes, oh well, you know. Fun's over. Oh well, fun's over. You know, because Krishna started to remember what that bright city was. It's Dwarka. And then Dowji had to change again. Vaibhava Prakash. Back to the moon. All right, Dwarkadish. We're here in Dwarka. It was fun being in Vrindavan, at least for a little while, right? So even in Dwarka, Krishna has his Vrindavan garlands where he's absorbed in Vrindavan. How wonderful it is. Even though Krishna's with his Mahishi, you know, with his queens of Vrindavan, still, and they're all expansions of Krishna's gopis, still, Krishna pines over Vrindavan. How wonderful it is. We can all go there by hearing and chanting and absorbing in Bhagavatam like this. Each word, each verse has so many wonderful connections, you know. And you can take verses from this section of Bhagavatam and compare it with different sections of Bhagavatam and see, wow, the mood is the same. But Krishna is packaging himself just exactly how those Kshatriya girls wanted. Our prince, our Kshatriya, and it's just what my heart wants. Could it ever be possible that I could get him as my lord? They thought, how wonderful it is. Huh? Krishna packages himself in just a way to fulfill the desire of the devotees. And even to this day, it's his company policy. So we read Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitam in this way, so that our mind will race and desire the association of our Lord very much. And therefore, gradually, in a positive, happy way, huh, towards the end of our life, when the kids are married and gone off, and whatever we've got is left behind, done there, been there, done that, you know, then we may follow the previous acharyas by hearing and chanting and reading and absorbing in the shastras, and our mind may go there. So that when we give up this body, there is no regrets. Just throw it away, nah. It's a lump of matter. Just like answering the call of nature and flushing it away. You never think, this was once part of my body. Huh? Right? No. You just simply flush it away. You don't pay any attention to it. Right? It had some sambandha with the body once in time, but not anymore. Right? So in the same way, we are jivas. We are in this body for some time, and by hearing a chanting of Gauranga Guna, Gau Gau Puna Gaurangera Guna Karila Shari Lomon. That's what Vasudeva Ghosh says, you know. How wonderful it is. Just chant Lord Chaitanya's glories again. Keep your mind very simple. By doing this absorption, then we'll, by the happy taste of higher Krishna Gata and Gauranga Gata, we will just give up this material world like it's nothing. And sometimes devotees actually, even while they're in this body, their mind becomes so absorbed in the Lord, they totally forget what's going on. Like Jyoti Shekhar was telling Bhakti Prakash Maharaj about the glories of the early Gaudiya mission. He said, some of those sannyasis were really absorbed, actually, you know, by hearing and chanting. They were so sincere. He said, once they had a kirtan party. Jyoti Shekhar said they went outside the Chaitanya Mutt. And for some reason, they just went outside the gates of the Mutt and they just stood there, right? And they just chanted and danced and they were transported by the holy names in kirtan, right? And they just kept chanting and chanting and chanting for like an hour and a half. And then they went back in. And when they went in, the devotees who led the kirtan, they hugged those sannyasis, you know, those devotees, and they said, hey, you know, we really had a wonderful sangatan. We went all the way down to Navadvip city, and we came back. And the sannyasis were so transported by the holy name, they had no idea where they went. They went, yeah, wasn't it wonderful? We went all the way down to Navadvip city, and we came back. When actually the reality was, they were just saying that. These devotees were just saying that, you know, to try to test their mood. But actually the mood is that they were so transported by the holy name, they had no idea where they were. They were so transported by the kirtan, they lost all sense of consciousness where they were. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what kind of kirtan that must have been? And they were so soft-hearted, so simple-hearted devotees, that they just simply agreed, yeah, we went all the way to Navadvip and came back. You know, they didn't have any reason to doubt it. You know? They didn't know where they went, and they didn't care where they went. They were so transported by the holy name. That's kirtan. That is really kirtan. That is really kirtan. Some of them were so exalted like that. Some of them were so exalted they could hear and chant for days. Days. Without any idea of day and night, food or not, you know. They're not interested. Where's their Trisundam? Where's their Gayatri? Forget it, you know. They didn't care day and night. They were just absorbed in the holy name. Oh, when and then will that day be ours, you know? When will that day come and we'll actually be able to chant like that, you know? Will we ever get the experience of kirtan like that, you know? Will we actually be able to read Bhagavatam and just disappear into the Bhagavatam? will that day be mine? Kabhi habi bolo sedi namar, you know? When will that day be ours? This is actually what has to be part of human life. Because this is what retirement is all about. This is what vanaprastha is all about. This is what brahmacharya is all about. This is what devotional life is all about. Or like a Vaishnava like Dadu, I was told about him in Nandagaon, that 3 days after coming back, you know, 88 kilometers, walking 88 kilometers from Nandagaon to Varshana, from Varshana to Govardhan, yak with his Brahmin friends in Mukherjee, do Govardhan Parikrama 3.5 hours flat, right? And walk back to Nandagaon, you know, like we do it every Purnima, you know. Do it every Purnima, nothing special, right? And 3 days after that, he's reading Bhagavatam, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he leans back against his bolster and leaves. 112. At 112. You know, it's totally absorbed in Bhagavatam, totally absorbed in the Lord, totally give up the material world, and with no regrets, just go, you know. Or like that Vaishnava that I was told about. These are, you know, we have to just simply hold in our head these older generation people. Like the report we heard about that guy that used to fix the BBT's computers in Bombay, about his father, you know? That his father read Bhagavatam 100 times so that eventually he got too much cataracts. He almost got hit by cars, so they couldn't take him to the mutt anymore. But he didn't need it anymore. He was chanting 64 rounds a day and remembering Bhagavatam and crying constantly, remembering the verses of Bhagavatam. He didn't need his eyes anymore. He didn't see his external vision anymore. It was antarmukha. He had antardarshan. He was antardarshan. Special mercy of Krishna, like this. Whew. When would that day be ours? Bhagavatam is such a joy. Hare Krishna. Okay. Have a nice breakfast. Hare Bol. Jai Gornatai, Radha, Vallabhav, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadramaya, Shalagram, Gan, Tulsi Rani, Ki, Jai. Hare.